How do you keep the vision of disciple making alive when you're around people that don't really, and maybe some even fighting the idea? I've had that experience where they were kind of against what we were doing. I think it goes back to our training as a laborer. Before we ever take up the job of trying to lead this thing, being involved in this thing, and coming to the place where we are convinced of God that this is my place in this ministry. This is what God wants me to do. No matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody says, this is a settled issue with me. And I think that takes time in the Word, time of poring over the Scriptures, time of becoming convinced by the Spirit of God Himself that this is what God wants me to do. Other people may not understand it, that other people may not like it, other people not go along with it. Fair enough. Other people do other things. But this is my God-given place. And I think it comes in those years of preparation for this ministry when I launch out into it. I don't think that you can really count on keeping the vision alive if you're sort of out there by yourself around people that don't go along with it. Let me give you an illustration. I think of a guy right now, close friend of mine. I took the guy out on campus every day, once a week for 2 years, out on campus witnessing. He became a good witness, good follow-upper, everything. He went with a mission board that did not have a clue about this business of discipling and the pressures of their program and the pressures of their desires and needs for his time and other things so bent him out of shape from all these pressures in all these directions that when I finally met him one time in Europe, you couldn't tell that he'd ever heard of the idea of discipling. So one of the things that I tried to do when I was in the Midwest and was kind of alone out there, I would make periodic trips. I'd get in a car and drive for 6 to 8 hours, sometimes 12 hours, to get with somebody for a weekend just to bask in the warmth of that fellowship, but get my batteries renewed, and I'd come back and go at it again. And I'd make conscious efforts to go up to Minneapolis and to get with a guy named Bob Glockner, to go down here and get with somebody else, to go to Glen Eyre and get with Lauren Sandy. Whatever it took, I was willing to pay that time and price to go out and just get my own, because it's almost like those old TVs we used to have. You got to fine-tune them every now and again, you know? The kind of picture gets a little fuzzy. You got to go somewhere and fine-tune that baby. That's what I would do. So I would suggest that if you're out somewhere where you're kind of alone in this thing, see if you can't meet somebody halfway, but get out there and get some fellowship. And by the way, there's a lot of people doing this now. It doesn't have to be some Southern Baptist either. It could be some other brother out here that's doing this. Get over there and fellowship with him. But somebody that has the thing that will encourage you. That was one thing that I found helpful for me. Another comment? Maybe you're as tired as I am. Anybody else going once? Okay.
When you're in the past, you say that you try to weekly take them out in some sort of aggressive evangelism.
You bet. Every week. In fact, as I mentioned, repeat the question. Thank you. I'm terrible at that, aren't I? I never repeat the question. The first question, by the way, in case you're wondering what the answer was all about, was how do you keep the vision fresh in your mind if you're kind of out there alone among people that don't really like what you're doing? And the answer was, go back two notches and you'll find the answer. Okay, now then, what was your question again? I had a good answer. Oh, yeah. You remember this morning I talked about four things you got to do weekly. Now, you know, laws of Medes and Persians, we take all into consideration, but to me, the ideal is weekly getting together in Bible study that includes scripture memory, prayer time that includes praying for our local ministry, who's new, who's our target, who do I want to begin to cultivate, pray over those names, and I would add a fourth today. I'd pray that God would, from our midst, raise up labor. But anyhow, weekly prayer meetings where we pray specifically by name for people that we've met, that we've witnessed to, that have come to Christ, and so on. The third thing was, what was the third thing? Witnessing. Go out witnessing together. Have some way that we witness together. And I think I shared the idea that a witnessing thrust kind of keeps the fire burning for the kind of witnessing we should be doing, namely just whoever we meet out here, brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, people in the neighborhood, people in the dorm, the casual witness. Somehow I need that consistent, structured witness to keep the fire burning. And then the fourth thing was have a good time together. Have fun. Have fun. Do stuff together. That's just, there's nothing religious about it all. Just go out and have a good time. Go up on the ski slopes, go have pizza, go to backyard barbecues, go to the game, just have fun together. Okay, another comment? Okay. Uh-huh. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in receiving support from non-Christians. And the question was, what would I share my idea on receiving support from non-Christians? Yeah. I don't want to give a non-Christian any hope at all, of any kind, the slightest hope, that he can go to heaven by something that he's done. It's all by grace, period. If you allow people to give to the ministry, somehow the devil might be able to take that and slyly, subtly get across the idea that you've earning some brownie points with God. So I'd rather go without a meal than give the devil that opportunity to get in there and tell that lie. Now, I know the other side of the picture. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owes it all. And so the devil's used it long enough. Let's get it over here and put it to work for God. Okay. I'm not on a soapbox trying to convince anybody. I'm just telling you why I don't do it. Because I don't want there to be any understanding in the mind of any non-Christian that something that he got from Leroy Imes indicated he might be able to buy his way into heaven or work his way into heaven or anything else. So if you have other convictions and you have them from God, okay. But that's just my perspective on it. The tithe belongs to God. These are God's... Oh, the question, yeah. What about tithing? What do I think about tithing, and specifically tithing to an organization such as BSU, which is not directly the local church, but sort of a parachurch alongside the local church? The tithe belongs to God. So first of all, tithing is a great place to start. It's a basic minimum, but it's a great place to start. And then you want to think in terms of gifts and offerings unto God. Now, I happen to belong to a church that believes in storehouse tithing. Our church believes that. And that tithe belongs to God. Okay. But that does not permit me or forbid me from giving all kinds of money to anybody that I want to as a free will offering. And so I do that. And as a matter of fact, some of my tithe goes to organizations outside the local church as well. But tithing is a great place to start. I think that every Christian should be taught to tithe. And where they give their money seems to be between them and God. I'm sure that we should support the local church. And by the way, let me encourage you folks. Somehow I get the impression, I alluded to it this morning, that oftentimes the local church is an adversary. The local church is an ally. They're on the team. See, they're part of the team. They're not the devils, the other stuff out there. See, that's the whole we're targeting here. Why don't you pray about this? Virginia and I belong to a church that I would rather go to church on Sunday morning than anything else I can think of in the world. I mean, if you say, Leroy, would you like to see Paris from the Eiffel Tower? Would you like to go scuba diving off the coast of Tiamat in the South China Sea? Would you... Or would you like to go to church, in your church where you go, I'd take going to church. It is such a precious, exciting experience. So why don't you pray that God will put you in touch with a church that has that kind of impact on your life? And when it does, you want to get to that local church. I mean, they are a blessing to your life. But I would just encourage you, some of you who are, and I use the word negative here advisedly, because I realize I'm in a Baptist group, for crying out loud. But I sense a little negativism on some of your parts. And ask God to make it a positive, exciting experience. You know? But wouldn't you say, Virginia, the highlight of our life is to go to church? It's an exciting thing. And they're all over the place. So pray that God will bring one your way. Listen, let's knock it off. We've had a long day. I've had a long day. So have you. Let me just lead us in prayer. Max, maybe you have a word for us before we break up tonight. Anything you want to say? Okay, Fellowship of Singles next door, food, and so on. Let me lead us in prayer before we go. Our Father in heaven, once again we pause to thank you for Jesus Christ, for that name above all names that unites our hearts together. And Lord, we think of his commission to us. Preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples among all nations. Lord, we pray that we might give our whole hearts to that great vision, that great commission that he has given. And Lord, I'd like to thank you for the privilege that I have had of having my own life enriched and Virginia's life enriched just by being around this dedicated gang. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.